Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports In Depth is a show. And we open every show, as we do. Prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. We ask you that you have your will and your way, for we need thee every hour. And thank you, Lord, for another day. Dear Lord, we thank you for little things we so largely take for granted, dear Lord. And we just want to thank you, dear Lord, for blessings forthcoming, blessings that have come all unmerited, dear Lord, so many unseen. We ask you to bless the name of your darling son Jesus. Dear Lord, we ask you that you touch the hearts of my niece as we lost a family member. And more importantly, Lord, just thank you for all things. As that man once said, although we don't live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live on a park bench. Lady once said, you're God all by yourself. And more importantly, the Lord, you may not be everybody's God, but you are the one and only true God. We love and thank you and ask these blessings, all of the blessings, in the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth on the Blake Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports In Depth of the show, a special boxing segment, and also in memory of Robert Hooks, my nephew who passed away yesterday, heart attack, 40 years old. And a friend of mine said, so young and with the age, you know, but it, life is not about the age, it's the blessings. It's not about how old you are, it's just how blessed you are. And we see if we live longer, we've been more so blessed. Unfortunately, in our society, there are a lot of young graves down the graveyard, too, especially in time of war. Heal, bless, and take care. Bless my family here and in New York City. In the name of your darling son, Jesus, amen. Doc Stanley, Sports Devil on the Blake, the Devil Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Devil. This show, the First Lady of Blake Radio, Sports Lady A, is responsible for this show. We're looking for Mel Cosell Smith to join us, that we can do the opening. And I hope Lady A got, did get Mel Cosell to join us. And we've got a big fights coming tomorrow. But for the stars of the show, just want to salute Derek Sanderson Jeter, past Willie Mays on the all-time hit list. Me and Destino, we're going to talk about that too, got the group in whole. We talked about, Willie, Jeter surpassing Willie. And it's a funny thing because we talked earlier, me and Dusty, and, yeah, unbelievable, we do talk. We do do a little slang language over the phone, something like that, you know. But we talked about Mays and the amount of hits that he could have had and would have had had it not been for the military and not been for Candlestick Park. And we were counting them up. I mean, you figure Willie, he missed all of the 53 season, part of the 52. So you figure that's 150 hits. So that's about 270 hits. You figure just with 10 balls a year, he hit, that would have been home runs out of the ball. But that's another 130. So that's three. And Willie Mays, you know, conceivably, you got to figure he hit at least 50 balls during the year in Candlestick Park. That would have been bases someplace else. So you do that. And you know, Willie Mays might have had 4,000 hits. But it is what it is. Jerick Sanderson, I told Jack last time I saw him, you know, and I've said this a million times on this show. I've written about it, and I finally got a tag to it, too. I always said, Derek Jeter wears number two. It's the apropos number, because Derek Jeter is second to none as a person or a player. And he was everything that Joe DiMaggio was supposed to be and everything that Mickey Mantle wasn't, a real live American hero. Derek Sanderson Jeter. Congratulations as you continue to move. Only Yankee ever to get 3,000 base hits. And there's a staggering stat. In the barbershop with my man Panama, from Panama, land of Roberto Duran, Lady A. And He said something. He said, you know, who's the all-time strikeout king on the Yankees? I said, well, you know, Babe Ruth was the all-time strikeout king when he retired from baseball. And then Reggie Jackson, I believe, supplanted the Bambino. And he said, but who's the all-time strikeout king on the Yankees? And I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to let you think. You listen in. Let you think. Mm-hmm. We're going to, at the top of the hour, it'll be a little quiz type of thing. And we'll come back to you on that and talk about that. But we've got some fight cards tomorrow. But once again, saluting Derek Sanders and Jeter has moved further to the 3,000 hit list, surpassing the incomparable, the legendary, the greatest player ever to play the game, ever will play the game, Willie Mays. It's just a thought, Jesse, of how many, like I'm saying, you do 10 balls a year at the Kansas City Park that should have been home runs. So that's 130
absolutely.
Hits. Then you do the year he lost in the military, which is another 150 hits. So that's 280 hits. He lost part of the other season. So we're talking about 400 hits there, and you got to figure. You got to figure
in the course
of
13
years at Candlestick Park that he hit another 30 balls that it should have been hit someplace else. So,
so Doc, all those numbers went unrecorded? Is that what you're saying? They didn't count toward his...
No. What I'm trying to say
No. He was in the military.
He didn't get them, but we're trying to say...
That's what I'm trying to say.
Had he not went into the military, he spent 2 years in the military.
He
so that's two seasons.
Those.
So we're talking about that's 300 more hits he would have had.
That's what I'm saying. So they went unrecorded had he not gone. That's what I'm saying. Had he not gone to the military.
Oh no. I mean, he still has to hit him. But I'm just saying he would have had at least another 500-600 more hits on his all-time hit list. I mean, he might have got a shot at 4,000 because if we do the math, I always said he had 10 balls a year in Kansas City Park that would win out any other ballpark. He's 13 years old. That's 130 more home runs. That's 130 more home runs. Not even meaning hits. You take away the 2 years of the military. That's another 300 hits. Okay, so we're talking about that's, what, 400 hits right there. He had to hit another 20, 30 balls a year that went double someplace else. So you do that times the 10 years. So we're talking about, what, 600, 700 hits? No, I mean, he's got a good shot at the big 4,000 with Pete Rose. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You know,
but now,
what, Dusty? We are speculating because of his two or three years lost to the military. We're not sure that he would have done it, but we are sure that he was so talented that he would have done it and probably surpassed.
You know, it's funny you said that
because
when Hank Aaron was doing the home run record, and supposedly somebody had once asked Willie, you know, what about thinking, you know, Hank's chances. Mm-hmm. And Mel Smith Jr. is going to join us too on this special boxing show. He's looking for Mel to call in momentarily and do an intro for us. And he said, well, you know, one thing Willie said when they were talking about, you know, what do you think about Hank passing Babe Ruth? And Willie said, well, you know, he's got to pass me first. You know what I mean? He was still behind Willie. And Aaron has said himself too that had Mays not played in Candlestick Park and had the military, he would have gotten to 3,000 hits because Hank Aaron was the first African American player to get 3,000. Base hits. You know what I mean? He was the first ever. But he had said, had Willie not had had the military and played in Candlestick Park, he would have got 3,000 hits ahead of Hank. Yeah, you know, for the lack of $50, Aaron and Mays would have been in the same outfield. But for $50 more, the Braves offered $50 more to Hank Aaron, who was back in
Hank Aaron,
too. And Hank signed with the break. But look, without further ado, first of all, let's let Mel Coso Jr. welcome everybody into the Sports and Depth Nation. And with that, we'll have our boxing special here on Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, the intro for Sports and Depth Nation, the one and only Mel Coso Jr.
Thank you, Doctor. The Sports and Depth Nation is here. The Sports and Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here via the Blake Radio Network, and the straw that stirs the drink is here, and that is Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Thank you, Rooney, and a young lady has something to say.
All day, all night, all the time, BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best, featuring entertainment.
sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Show, the channel Sports Depth and Show. Always an honor to be introduced by the greatest African sportscast in history in New York City Radio, the one and only Larry Harris, ESPN, Saturday Report. Lady A started us off. We were talking about the big card tomorrow, and during the last week or so, we had a lot of huge things happening tomorrow. Canelo Alvarez against Josito Lopez. And, you know, Lady A, that was a fight that a lot of people didn't think would do too well with the big fight of Chavez and Martinez. But that fight has sold out too, First Lady.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's going to be interesting to see. They put together a good fight card. They got Johnny Gonzalez and Ponce de Leon fighting. They got Maidana in one of the bouts also fighting Jesus Soto Carras. And then you got Leo Santana Cruz versus Eric Morel. So I believe it's 14,500 people. Sold out MGM Grand. Because this one's going to be in Las Vegas, and I think the other one with Martinez is going to be in Los Angeles. So they sold out.
Mm-hmm. No, they're both in Las Vegas.
They're both in Vegas.
Martinez,
I thought one was in the Thomas
19th.
And Mack Center, though. The Thomas and Mack Center. Isn't the other one in the Thomas and Mack Center?
They're both in Las Vegas.
It's still a Vegas fight.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was in Los Angeles.
Because that was the big thing. People were saying... let me double check that, because people were saying, how could
well, just like because that was a big thing.
Does he remember? Everybody kept saying, what a kind of terrible thing, man, for the guy to turn around and it was Aram. You know, how could he schedule a fight on the same? Because if I'm correct, Oscar had that date first. Am I right, gang?
He had the date first. Oh, yeah, go ahead. He had the date first with Canelo with the sure thing of Victor Ortiz. and then when Chavez beat, Andy Lee, they reached out and they gave overtures to Martinez, so now you got your shot. And it was in Las Vegas. I wrote my story. I wrote my column, and I call it the fight of the two. The tale of two mega fights, just like Charles Dickens, the tale of two cities, because one is on one side of town, the other one is in another side of town.
Mm.
19,000 capacity in Thomas Mack, and it's sold out. And now the poor people. Who don't have to pay that much money in a Thomas Mack are going to MGM Grand, and they're filling up the place. Or, Lady A, you say that they were sold out?
Both fights are sold out. But the interesting thing, Doc, real quick, if I could just say one thing with Dusty.
Did I have a high-pitched voice there?
One of the things that I found interesting in the whole thing was and again, thanks for correcting me, because Thomas and Mack, you're right, is in Las Vegas, but the one thing I found interesting is Sergio Martinez's camp last minute called in Nassim Richardson to make sure that the hand wraps are being done properly.
Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why you tune into Sports in Depth. Because like I'm saying, Larry Hart's at eighth wonder of the world. Hey, these are the wonders. You have not heard that no place else but here. Right?
Sports in Depth is only for busybody people.
Yeah, right. I just found it so interesting that it's funny that Sergio Martinez's camp is leaving no stone unturned, because he seems to think, like, no matter what happens, he really wants to win this fight. And he's taking it personally, which I've never seen. And Dusty, we've interviewed Sergio Martinez numerous times.
Yeah.
I've never seen him take the fight. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, you know, we've interviewed him at Ad Infinitum, and he's never seemed to have the kind of outlook like he has now for this fight, and he's leaving no stone unturned.
Because the deck is stacked against him. You both saw that video today.
This is a spinoff from the YouTube that we saw with Luther Butler.
Mission Impossible. I mean, everything is against this kid.
If it was a family show. The thing is that he would have been bleeped if he had been a family show, because a man was ranting and raving. He became a psychotic because look at his eyes and they were dilated pupils.
Well, Dusty, maybe he had a drink or two, okay? Can we go there?
Yeah, they're talking about the tapes, and they're talking about checking the gloves. They're talking about this, and they're talking about so many advantages that Chavez has.
Luther Butler's paranoid of not having,
you know, it's stacked against me. If the fight is close, I mean, they're going to give it to the boy.
Well, you know what, Dusty, though? I think even more so, it's more of a reason for Martinez to go in there, knock him out. Because if you let it go to the judges, I mean, you already know you don't want to take that chance, especially with boxing being the way it has been the last few fights. So I think that Sergio Martinez is entirely focused on this fight. I think he's going to go in. I think he's going to go in there with reckless abandon. He's going to try to just go crazy on this guy and just knock him out.
If Martinez goes in there with reckless abandonment, Martinez is going to get knocked out.
I'm telling you, I see it.
One thing that you have to learn in boxing, I've been furious enough to bring a knife into the ring and cut the dude to death. I have gone in there. You harness your anger and your fury, and you put it and you harness into your style and what you're supposed to do, and you beat the man.
I hope he does, because it seems like he's taking it very personal. Did you see the weigh-in this afternoon? No, I didn't see it.
The weigh-in this afternoon, it was like you could see the thunder, the lightning, the electricity, all fuming out of Martinez's head.
I never seen him like this.
Yeah.
He did a Bernard Hopkins.
He ran his finger across his throat and pointing towards Chavez. He did it two or three times. So the man is at a height now where I would caution him to calm down and plan what he's going to do. Okay, because he's not fighting. But he's not going to fight some European guy that he slapped all over the place. He's fighting a fine-tooth comb, harness, and mature fighter who, Chavez weighed 158 this afternoon, and Martinez weighed 159. Chavez looks stacked. He looks sharp. So he's not fighting all those European guys.
I understand that, Doug, but his fighting talent is such that the fight shouldn't go the distance.
Right. I agree with you. He's a better experienced fighter. I think that his maturity level is a lot better in the ring. He's 49-2, Dusty. You know, so I think he's coming in with that background. And I think if he's played smart, which let's hope he doesn't let his personal, you know, feelings interfere
he cannot let his personal feelings walk in there, because first of all, you got to look at the whole logistics, the historical situation here. He refused to fight Sebastian Civic. Chavez people jumped down the bandwagon and said, "We'll fight him," and he got the title. Now he was pissed off because Chavez got the shot and won the title. So who's the one that was wrong? Martinez was wrong. He says, "I'm not going to be dictated to, and I'm going to fight who I want to fight." Okay, you don't want to fight Civic? Okay, Charlie, goodbye. They declared it vacant, and then they made a tournament, Chavez and Civic. Chavez beat Civic, well, not Chavez was the boss. Now, he's demanding, you see how slick he is? Now, he's demanding to fight Chavez. Now, there is a proverb here. I don't want to sound religious. There's a proverb here. You don't throw a cub into the lion's den until he's ready to defend himself. So what they did was astutely kept Chavez away from Martinez, knowing that eventually he had to fight them, fighting the Manfredos and fighting the Rubios and fighting the John Duddies and fighting who else he fought? Oh, yeah, and then finally the maturation, Andy Lee, who was beating Chavez and also
Southpaw. That's right. Lee was beating him, thus.
Right.
He's the same guy
and
who had a life and death battle with Andy Lee.
Right.
He was behind on the scorecards up until the time of the knockout. This is not a guy that should be beating Martinez for any length of time in his fight.
When he beat Andy Lee, he says, okay, Martinez, now is your time. Now, Martinez is not fighting any one of those European guys. This is what I'm saying. But he's fighting a guy who's a vicious body puncher, a warrior. Did you see the fight between him and Margarito? This is what I said the other day. You people shot me down. I saw the fight with him and Margarito.
Who and Margarito?
Margarito. Antonio Margarito.
Yeah, Antonio Margarito.
Martinez.
Who? Okay.
Margarito knocked out Martinez, man.
Mm-hmm.
He knocked him out 8-9 mm-hmm. years ago.
Right.
In the first round,
yeah, but
Margarito
that was a long time ago. That's a long time ago.
Well,
and
he's
a
much better fighter now, Dust. Listen,
he's
a much better fighter now.
The thing is, we know that the guy came into the fight with his hands doctored.
Let me finish my thought. How do you know he came in with his hands fixed? You know, you can't grandfather.
Come on, Dusty.
The fact. No, listen.
Come
no,
on,
no,
Dusty.
Come on, man. You know. You cannot grandfather.
We can.
No,
what,
no,
Dusty,
no, no. You,
why?
You kinda,
why would
you
he have not? Hold on.
No,
let me
no,
just think. Dusty. Why
wrong,
would he
man.
Have not come in with his hands docked? I mean, are you telling me, Dusty, that here's a guy who was caught doing this? That he wasn't. This was
are
his
you
head.
Telling me that you're grandfathering what he did with Shane Mosley
exactly.
9-10 years ago?
Exactly.
No, you're wrong.
Dusty, the man started fighting
when he was 13. So when he was 13, he had fixed gloves?
I didn't say he was 13.
I'm saying when he fought Martinez. That's what I'm saying.
How do you know?
Dusty.
How do you know?
Guys, another fact I think that we're forgetting.
Hold on, Dusty. Go, Lady A.
I was going to say another fact
you
that.
Cut me down? Okay,
No, Dusty, I'm not going to cut you. Dusty, jump in for a minute. I'm trying to set a point.
The reason I'm trying to set a point is because now we lead to tomorrow. I'm trying to tell you that Martinez did not fight the way he fights today when he fought Margarito. He was a give-and-take slugger. Margarito, in the exchange in the first round, dropped him with a right hand.
He TKO'd
and
him in
Martinez
the seventh round.
Got up and he fought. Now, when he lost in the seventh round, because that
right.
was a seventh-round knockout.
Seventh round, that was in 2000.
Was
and he remember, they fought at 147.
Yeah, so what? But listen to
okay.
what I'm going to tell you.
Go ahead.
That, when he was interviewed, I said, what happened to you? I said, look, this guy is such a heavy-duty body puncher. He hurt me in the body in the first round, and I never recovered. That's Margarito's words. Now you're dealing with a Chavez who was a vicious body puncher. That's what I'm saying. I'm not favoring Chavez because he's going to he's greater than Martinez.
Hold, Dusty, back up. The body punching. Who was taking the body punches? Was it Martinez body punches?
Martinez was taking the body punches, and he never recovered from the body beating.
Okay, this is what I'm trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but Dusty,
is a
I mean,
body puncher.
My thing is that Kelly Pavlik was not a small guy either.
No, he was.
All right, He was a big guy. Okay, he made the weight at 159, but when you looked at him that day on fight day, he was more than 159, bro. Okay?
But it doesn't cut it. Kelly Pavlik was no Hugo Chavez.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Hugo. Julio Chavez.
Right.
Chavez would have beaten a Kelly Pavlik. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced of that.
Mm-hmm.
This is all I'm saying. But you could take a Martinez, and I know for a fact a Martinez will knock you out in the first round or drag you to the 12th and still knock you out because he is the harder hitter, he's the faster man, he's the more mature man, and he's the man with the biggest stamina.
He's a more skilled fighter all around. I think he's a better fighter all around. Chavez is strong, but he's green.
And also,
Dusty,
remember,
strong,
it's only
very,
until recently.
He's,
How could he be green when he has 47 fights and Martinez has the same amount of fights?
He's beaten 17 cab drivers, so what? Martinez only has
three more fights. But I think, you know, Rudy, that's the term that I was looking for. And you can even see at the press conference that he's basically green. I mean, when it comes to quality fighters, I mean, it's the reason why Doc Sandy Sports is up on the Blake Radio, Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Network Show. They're all here. Destino, baby, Lord, the first lady of Blake Radio, Sports Lady A, and Melko. So it's the reason why, and you know, we could be wrong, I picked Ray Leonard over Tommy Hearns because Ray had fought Benitez, Duran, Andy Price. Tommy, you know, knocked off the Pino Cuevas, but he had nobody else's merit. But he still could have won the fight. But I think
absolutely.
Hey, Dusty, not good. If he was winning, he was winning the sucker. But I mean, I think there is a lot of immaturity to Chavez. I think the word green.
I never disagreed on that.
No, it's apropos. And I, you know, but the thing here is what I talked to you about earlier today, and I sent the video out to Lady A. You know, the deck is the cards are marked.
Stacked against
the cards are chipped. I mean, you know, and what the Bella said. Do you think if it's 7-5 Martinez, he's going to win the fight?
Nope.
Right.
Do you think? What Martinez
right.
has to do? He has to. You know, like I said,
I think
party,
he knows it, Doc. I think he solidified it. I think
he
solidified
it
on 24/7. He solidified it on 24/7. He solidified it on a face-off with Max Kellerman. He wants to knock this kid out, and I think he's going to knock him out.
Lady A, I think he has to. I mean,
yes.
Here's the thing here.
I don't think there's any
reason.
Here's
he
a party that he was invited to by design, not by design. It's Mexican History Weekend. His father is going to be ringside.
Exactly.
Jose Sullivan is going to be. I said his family is going to be there, those in kin and blood, and adopted, which would be all of Mexico. Vegas is closer to Mexico than Argentina. Unless he puts on a tremendous boxing clinic, and even with that, he could win nine rounds, and we could wind up with a draw.
Not only that, but I think too. I mean, Najee said it best. I mean, Najee Richardson said, Sergio Martinez is one a lot quicker. He could move around the ring a lot quicker. He could hit.
Exactly.
He could hit Chavez twice. Two for every one shot that Chavez throws because he's that fast and he's much quicker of a fighter. However, like Dusty says, however, you got to pray that Chavez does not connect with one of those.
If he doesn't keep his head, he'll lose it. You know,
right.
He can't stick his chin out. He can't. Rudy, you got something here, Rudy?
Doc, let me get in there because I'm glad you're saying that, Doc, because, you know, we've had this discussion.
But he uses that to draw people in.
If he comes in focused and doesn't try to come in and be a little bit too cute, then, Doc, this is going to be no contender, okay? First of all, Martinez is for the better class of fighter. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
He's for better competition.
Mm-hmm.
He's a better overall fighter. He's a better technician. He has better ring genuity. If he doesn't come in and try to be too cute, then, Doc, the only way this guy loses the fight is if somebody spikes his ward and he looks like Dawson did it last week, all right? I mean, he's supposed to smack this kid around. And also, Doc, he's going into this rumble knowing that. He knows that if he goes into this fight, if Chavez's heart is still beating by the end of this fight, he knows he's going to lose the fight, okay? So he knows that he has to go in there with a sense of urgency because he can't let this kid go the distance. And I don't see him. I don't see the kid going the distance with him, Doc.
I think
absolutely right because he's a puncher. But did you see the breakdown in Las Vegas? 69% pick Martinez to win. Only 29 pick Chavez. So I'm out in left field somewhere because there's a 69% that says he's taking him to deep waters or he's going to teach him a lesson early or Martinez said it today, I'm not going to knock him out early. I'm going to punish him, and then I'm going to knock him out late.
Well, the other thing, too, I think that we haven't spoken about, Dusty, is the fact that, you know, Chavez is not used to fighting southpaws. And remember, he had to kind of make some kind of accommodation for that as well.
No, he fought several southpaws of no consequence.
Right.
But the main southpaw of consequence was Andy Lee, and he was losing to Andy Lee.
Right, right.
But what I'm saying to you
you know what, that's the point that nobody's brought up.
Right, the southpaw, exactly.
That's another point, and Dusty, quit making these intelligent interjections. You know, if you got something smart to say, keep it to yourself. Okay? All right?
Shall I hang up now, please?
No, Dusty. I'll do it for you.
Yes.
But you know what? It's amazing you said that
because if you don't sign, you can't. Listen, if it gets to the point where you have to sign, gang.
Nobody's mentioned that Martinez is a southpaw. Wow.
I just did.
Exactly.
You are somebody. I said nobody.
I'm just saying, as far as Dusty's concerned, because for you to start with somebody,
where this kid is just getting hit with pot shot after pot shot after pot shot, and they just throw the towel and say the kid's just taking too much punishment.
Listen,
either the ref comes in and moves in to stop it or stop it.
That's the only way. One of the only ways he's going to win this fight. But I really hesitate to think that so close to Mexico, with that kind of, you know, he's going to have to be taking a serious compromiso ass whipping for them throw the towel in.
The other thing Dusty brought up was, as far as him saying, I'm sorry, Dusty, what were you saying?
No, go ahead. I was saying the other thing that we were talking about when you always talk about guys fighting guys that are tomato cans,
right?
Yep.
He had to fight guys to tune himself up for this fight. So, what left-handed, I mean, excuse me, southpaws has he fought that have been significant enough to actually help him and propel him to a fight like this? Outside of Andy Lee, I can't really say that he's really fought anybody.
But you see, in his preliminary fights, he has fought southpaws. I mean, that doesn't mean that's the overall criteria of maturation fighting an animal fight. The graduation, the diploma, was when he fought Andy Lee, who
that's
was
what I'm
beating
saying.
The crap out
right.
of him.
But if you
remember that fight with Andy Lee, he started crowding him and getting to the body.
Right.
And he's a vicious uppercutter, which is a lost art. Can he do that to Martinez? I believe he will try. And if he hurts
Martinez,
but
he's got to get him
way,
first. He's got to catch him first.
That's what I'm saying.
But here's the thing, too. Here's the thing, too. And the thing that Louis Bell, Doc Sally Sports Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Depth Show, we're going to talk about other fights. But this is the big fight. Sergio Marvelez Martinez against the son of the legend who shot. This is the thing that the Bell are worried about, though. He's going to come into this fight. Okay, he's going to come in this fight 180. He's going to be so much bigger, so much stronger. Mm-hmm. If he can grab and hold 4, 5, 6 rounds, maybe he can wear Martinez down to the point that he can work that body.
That's not going to happen.
It may be the other way around as far as the wear down. Let me tell you why. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
That's why. Why do you think that Chavez Jr. is always complaining about cramping up in the middle of his fight? It's because he's dehydrated because of making a damn weight. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody's going to be worn down, it's going to be him. I don't see it being another way around. That's why the guy's always complaining about leg cramps throughout his fight. Because he's dehydrated because he's trying to make the damn weight all the time.
Let me finish this, Doc. He's a bona fide
75 pounder, not 60, actually. He has the same problem Jake LaMotta used to have, and that the guy's actually a bona fide 75 pounder.
The advantage, too, his three things everybody's talking about. Doc Stanley Sports Depth on the Blake Radio, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports Depth of the Show, green. Not as mature, not as seasoned as Martinez. Also, he's fighting a southpaw, which is a disadvantage for him. And three, as was the case with Chad Dawson last week, this is the thing, too, that thought was he will not have maybe the complications or the severe consequences that Chad Dawson had because he's a younger guy. So in losing the weight, his body will not react the way Chad Dawson's did. The thing that I'm looking at here, too, is the point that was brought up. What psychological advantage does it bring having Nassim Richardson there? Or on the other hand, are they saying, "Wow, this guy is kind of scared. He's pulling all stops here. I mean, he's got Nassim. I mean, we've never been known to have problems with the hand wrap. So is this a psychological advantage to who?
That's all it is. It's the same thing when Miguel Cotto people brought in Nassim Richardson.
Okay.
That's right.
To check
same
the
day
pads
of fight.
And
we spoke to him, remember,
Stussy?
We spoke to him, yep.
Yeah, and it's the same old psychological approach. The same psychological approach when Freddie Roach had a big battle with Diaz, Margarito's trainer,
mm-hmm.
over what they were putting on the gloves and what was Margarito drinking as opposed to what Pacquiao was putting on his gloves. There was a whole bunch of back fence gossiping, sniping nonsense. And bring in Nassim Richardson to showcase that he's going to be forever vigilant. You know why he's the hero? Because he's the only one who spotted Margarito's dirty gloves with shame.
Before the fight took place. With Mosley.
Right, well,
before the fight.
That's what saved Shane Mosley.
That's right. That's what saved Shane Mosley.
What I'm saying now, he's the vigilant hero who can fine-tooth comb any infraction in that locker room. That's why he's on call. He's making a lot of money, too. The fact that
Jesse, now, do I detect a little jealousy here? He's making a lot of money.
Hey, I should have been there.
Hey, Dusty, it was no need for you to come at the brother like that.
But what I'm saying is that, yes, he's pulling out all stops.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Mel, you said it's the psychological thing because the one who's having nightmares, and unfortunately he's projecting it to his fighter, is Lou DiBella.
Oh, man.
I think
I think it's more of him trying to get as much of an edge as he can as a little bit of ledge that they're giving him.
What I read from Lou DiBella was mass hysteria.
Really?
Mass hysteria. No, really, mass hysteria. I said, when you sent me that tape, I said, Jesus Christ, this guy's desperate. He's psychotic. He's sniping at everything. And, man, if it had been a family show, he would have been bleeped all night. But the fact of the matter is, it's mass hysteria because he's worried about his boy getting beat.
He has every right to be when you look at the fact that, you know, he couldn't do the public workouts, you know, he couldn't
exactly.
He had a problem with the vandalism of the car. I mean, everything.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the thing here, though, if Martinez takes this and fuels it right,
yeah.
And as Rooney says, goes in there and fights the kind of fight that he should fight. You know, like I said, he can't go
right.
in there angry. The anger's not going to help him.
Exactly.
Gang, everybody hold on a minute. Let's take a quick break here, and we'll be right back with this Sports In Depth special edition of...
I got Sugar Ray Robinson, man.
hey, Jesse. Sugar who?
Go ahead.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You are listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
You know, I was yesterday.
Yeah.
Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake in the River. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Show. I was passing by this store, and you know, the papers that really touch the masses, touch the heart, touch the soul, touch the genre of our society, are the grassroots papers. And, you know, I always talk to us about Consuelo Henrique, and that's the people, El Diario, El Mundo, you know, the legendary Secret News, the Beacon, Hampton News.
El Vocero, News, I read all that.
Yeah, and I was looking at one of the weeklies because it's sad commentary. I've said this is sad and touching that in 21st century New York City doesn't have a daily newspaper. You know, sad. 21st century, capital of the world, and we don't have a black radio station with sports. Your Larry Hardesty is on silent ESPN. And I looked at this paper, and it said that, and I may be pronouncing his name wrong, Ronald Dingo, the famous football player from Brazil, had died in a car crash. And I said, wow, this is amazing. I said, but wait a minute, man. I said, you know, everybody.
Nobody covered
this chance. You know, DocStanleySports.com is my site for my Sports In Depth, Trust In God Hall of Fame. Smithsonian will be making another visit here to see the doctor. And I'm also on DocStanleySports.com. I told you I have a blog, Doc Stanley Sports In Depth, blogspot.com.br, which is basically out of Brazil. And I just thought it was kind of puzzling that, you know, Steve Glazer, who has another one blog over there, I didn't see it on his. I didn't read the news. This is amazing. That I said, wow. But I said, wow, what a find. And I found something. He said, but this don't seem right. How could a guy of this stature and renown, you know, but you know what, Dusty, it's like that thing the other day when we talked about Kenny Norton. You know, you heard about the heart attack. That's been like poor Kenny has either suffered it, died. You know, so I said, man, this don't sound right that this guy.
The thing is in the media, you have, and you know, I'm very sure you know about, you have the managing editor who may get a wire says so and so passed away, and chuck that, that's not important.
Ken Norton. How do you not report that?
Right.
If we were doing mic on, lights off, and you were getting ready to get on your mule and ride off, and you said, hold on, Doc. Wait a minute. Hold on, Doc. You know, something coming through. But, you know, everybody I told, Greg Logan, everybody I've spoken to has, you know, it's just, yeah, I don't know. Everybody's checking into it, and it seems that, you know, it didn't happen, or Kenny's, I guess the bottom line, he's not dead. That's, you know. Real quickly, Dr. Stanley Sports, up on the Blake Norris. Going back to Brazil, though, this was the thing about Ronald Dingo, and I said, you know, this is mind-blowing. Spoke to Glazer, and he said, hey, Doc, there's no way in the world that this happened. You know what I mean? So I don't know where this story come from, but it did happen. We want to salute Brazil, hoping Rosie, she's not here tonight. Not only she's with us, but I guess she is, she's not here tonight. She is probably getting ready for the show on Sunday. We've been talking so much about this fight. Let's really quickly, everybody, give me who's going to win. Then we got some other fights. Carmelo Alvarez is another big fight that night, and he's against Lopez,
right,
who kind of you know, upset the apple cart when he won. And then we've got some fights coming up. But real quickly, I take it, Rooney, that it's no question that you're going with Martinez.
Yeah, Doc. I mean, the only way I see the other guys losing, the only way I see Martinez losing is rumble as if his water spiked or something, really. I mean, seriously. So seriously speaking.
Oh, come on. You got to give Chavez some credit, man.
Seriously. No, I give a, don't get me wrong, Doc. I mean, don't get me wrong. Chavez is light years ahead of where he was as a fighter compared to a few years ago. He's worked very hard, and he's light years ahead of where he was as a fighter, but the skill level is just too diverse. The other guys fought much better competition. I see him stopping Chavez Jr. I don't think the fight goes the distance.
Well, you know, I tell you something funny about this, too, because, and it's a good thing we got this extra time, because we've already going to do this in an hour, now we're doing 90. I tell you something, you know, excuse me, on the other hand here, you know, Martinez hasn't looked all that great lately, and he's kind of, to me, he's kind of been living off the Pavlik fight, and more so the Paul Williams fight. Now, he's fought some guys.
Absolutely.
Dusty on the Crystal Hart show alluded to the fact that what the Bella was doing, as it seems now, Dusty, was bringing some high-priced, skilled sparring partners for him to fight.
Yeah.
And so,
exactly.
You know, on the other hand,
he bought him four. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But on the other hand, you know, this is you know, Martinez has to make an outstanding showing here to get out of Little Mexico alive, and to once again springboard himself back into a picture of, to me, of legitimacy of being one of the best fighters pound for pound, because he hasn't looked that good. I mean, and the old George Benson line, look good the next fight and win tonight, but he hasn't looked the same. I mean, you know, he looked his best. He looked his best from what I've seen. I didn't see the Pavlik fight, but of the fights I saw, he looked his best in the fight that he lost to Paul Williams. I mean, if you look at that
fight. He lost.
No.
And the other fight. To be honest with you, the guy seems bored. I actually think the better fighter will bring out the better fighter in him.
One of the things that I've been noticing, and I don't know if Dusty's picked up on it too, is the fact that Chavez is starting to come in more now. He's starting to come in to his opponent a lot more, whereas before it didn't seem like he was doing that. And he's taking a lot more to his chin now, and he's showing a lot more that he could take shots. Hard shots to his chin.
No, well, I have to reverse that, Lady A. He was a notorious body puncher.
Right.
He would go one and two straight rounds without even going to your head.
Right.
Now, with the reversal of fortune with Freddie Roach, he's fighting taller. He found the jab. He's more defensive-minded now that he is. But, yes, his forte, and even admit it,
coming forward.
Tired of boxing. I get tired of boxing. I want to get in there. I want to punish.
Right.
He's a warrior.
Yeah, he's coming forward now.
Martinez, yeah, you talk about Martinez mature. First of all, Martinez did not pick up boxing until he was 20.
Mm-hmm.
Who has the edge? Chavez. Since he was a baby, he was in and out of the gym with his father, learning. At 13, he told his father, Pop,
Let me finish the thought, Doctor. Because he's with his dad at a young age, that doesn't mean talent-wise he's better.
I wasn't going that way. He was nurtured, breastfed, or whatever you're going to call it, into the boxing retinue when Martinez was a cyclist, a soccer player, and a tennis player.
Mm-hmm.
Then at 20, he decided to be a boxer. Now,
right.
And they never fought amateur, both of them. What I'm saying to you is that he was reamed and spoon-fed into boxing. Now, does that make him better? No, it doesn't make him better. But if you look at his fighting style up until the present time, he has always had this aggressiveness and the punching. Like Lady A said, he comes in, he can vary his style, Martinez fights the way he fights, and he began that, and I hate to bring it up again, after Margarito knocked him out, because he was an exchanger. He was a fighter that would stand there toe-to-toe with you. Now he doesn't do it. Maybe he knows that was a mistake. Maybe he knows
he's older
that
now. He's
that
older and wiser now, Dust. He's
I'm
older and wiser now.
Yeah, older and wiser, but the fact of the matter is that can he take a body shot that he's been avoiding for the last five fights? The only time that you saw him in clinches, body punching was we saw in clinches. To me, his outstanding fight, above all, was when he beat Kelly Pavlik. I figured Kelly Pavlik will take him downtown and destroy him. He destroyed Kelly
Pavlik. Yeah, but it was after, I think that the key thing was that fight with Kelly Pavlik, and let's not avoid it. It's the fact that he really started dominating in the later rounds. Once after he cut Kelly Pavlik his eye,
that's when it became advantageous for him to really start doing what he had to do. Yeah, that's the way he fights. And then you got to understand that Kelly Pavlik psychologically was destroyed by Bernard Hopkins.
Yes.
And that shine, that aura of invincibility,
that's
drained
right.
out of Kelly Pavlik.
Mm-hmm.
He was only now an opponent. Now, you got a fresh, hungry man.
You bring the point up, Dusty, about the Hopkins fight. It's tremendous. But, if you look back at Kelly Pavlik, Kelly Pavlik's two biggest fights, and the problem with Pavlik, too, was that Doc Stanley Sports up on the Blake Radio, the Rainbow Soda Channel Sports. There was two problems with Pavlik. After Pavlik beat the, I think it was Molina. He beat Molina. Molina was the easy fight.
Pantera Miranda.
Miranda. After he beat Miranda.
Edison Miranda.
Huh? Yeah. Okay. When he
Edison
beat Miranda,
Miranda.
That for all intents and purposes, things like that, that was his title fight. He wasn't supposed to win that fight. He won that. Jermaine Taylor was light stuff. You know what I mean? But then after that, Pavlik had some injuries. I remember he was supposed to fight, and he didn't fight. And we talked afterwards. I said, you're right, champion. You're not 100%.
Yeah.
Don't go to the ring. So the injuries, and as we found out later, the alcohol.
Right.
I mean, so for all intents and purposes, he was constantly going backwards. He was never the same fighter.
Absolutely.
Hopkins, more than psychologically, more so exposed him.
Exactly.
The best he ever fought was the fight before Jermaine Taylor. Jermaine Taylor, as we can see now, is just, wasn't all that. I mean, the two best he fights were the Bernard Hopkins fight. I thought Bernard more so gave away the first fight than anything else.
He did.
So, Pavlik, just it would have been a different fight, but had we had the same Pavlik that fought Miranda against Martinez,
yeah.
we could have a better gauge about, because like you said, until he got cut, Pavlik was that was his fight.
Yeah, and you see, and another thing too, that the Jermaine Taylor victory by Pavlik was a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. Why? Because Jermaine Taylor dropped him, almost killed him in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
Jermaine Taylor was a five-round fighter. That's what he is. And then he drained, and he let the dude hit him, corner him, and he got knocked out.
I was standing.
Well, let's not forget too
round.
The second fight with Taylor too. What went to 12, and then he won at the end. Remember? And Jermaine Taylor ended up losing in the last few rounds.
Taylor, for all intents and purposes, was
the
done.
The seventh round, he got TKO.
Well, Taylor was done when he knocked him out in Atlantic City the first time. Because if I'm correct, seventh round. I think that's what Emmanuel Stewart walked away from, because I was standing.
Yeah,
ringside.
They were in camp
with. I was standing ringside with one of the corner men, with the great champion watcher this year, Lennox Lewis, and he was saying that Emmanuel had told Jermaine, circle.
Yeah.
And as we saw it, he was winning the fight. He said, but do not back up straight. Do not back up straight. Circle.
Exactly.
Just as soon as he backed up straight, bam, there he was on the canvas.
Yeah.
That lights out. So, I mean, yeah.
That's why he took him to camp, because Jermaine Taylor was a 9-to-5 trainer. Then he's hanging out with the homeboys in his town.
Dusty, you must stop with this stuff of correctness and agree with me. Dusty, hang the phone up now. You gave me no choice.
Okay.
Because
you
were saying exactly what it was said from his camp, and man, here's a guy who was 9-to-5. There was nothing to do with boxing after 5. There was nothing to do with boxing before 5. You know what I mean? And he was living off talent, and had he kind of pursued his craft.
He didn't really have.
Yeah. You know what? As it turned out to be. He was a guy who had 2 good seasons of hitting 300, and he thought he was a lifetime 300 hitter. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the pitchers made the adjustment.
Well,
I mean,
with all due respect to Jermaine Taylor, let's not forget, I mean, he did have the 2 titles, the WBC and the WBO middleweight title at the time that he fought Jermaine Taylor.
He beat Vernon
the first one.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that the best fight he ever fought was his first fight. Okay, so let's Lady A likes Martinez. Dusty likes Chavez.
Yeah.
Mel Costello likes Martinez.
I like
Martinez.
Yeah, go ahead.
As providing that, he dances, keeps his head in, keeps his hands up. Like I said, I know in this game, only 3 guys are unbeatable. The first, Ali, Duran at 135, Sugar Ray Robinson as a welterweight. But I will lean towards Martinez. But let's lean the other way, because we could talk about that. That's what we got. The fight that everybody thought was kind of forgotten. Well, it seems like, you know, ladies first, that Canelo has carried this fight. You know, Alvarez is the big star. Golden Boy has invested in him, and we got a sellout. So a lot of that has to go, Lady A. You got to give him credit for that. And he's the guy that is going to be one of the new stars and faces of boxing.
The future Golden Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lady A. Yeah.
No, I agree. Young guy. But the thing that with Canelo was just power, and I know Dusty's going to agree with me, man. That guy could hit. He could just hit.
Yeah.
And you know, he's young. He still got a lot of boxing left in him. But this kid, Josecito, let me tell you something right now. I don't know if he bit off more than he could chew with this kid.
Really?
He impressed me. He impressed me in that last fight with Ortiz. I'll tell you that right now.
Mm.
Right. Well, I tell you, Josecito weighed 153 and Canelo weighed 154.
Mm-hmm.
Josecito knows that he is a Cinderella man here.
Yep.
And if he comes in with all the marbles and does at the same or better than what he did to Ortiz, he has a chance to upset the world. Now, I don't think so, because Canelo Alvarez is an all-rounded fighter. But you see, I must confess, I'm not sold on Canelo Alvarez.
Why not?
The man is slow. I've seen him get dropped, knocked down by Miguel Cotto's brother with a vicious left hook. Shea Mosley, who was ready for the cleaners, he couldn't knock him out.
He couldn't finish him. That's right.
He couldn't finish him. He fought, I don't know if you people saw the fight, he fought Ricky Hatton's older brother, some English import, for the vacant junior middleweight title. And that English import with all the Hassan Pfeffer, he couldn't knock him out, man. This guy slapped the crap out of him. You know, so I'm saying, man, Canelo, okay, God bless you. You're 19 or 20 years of age. You got 41 fights. You started fighting at 14. Good for you. But I'm still not impressed because, frankly, he hasn't fought a challenging fighter.
There you go. Thank you. That was my point.
He fought.
Okay, so you're saying that the Sugar Shane Mosley, which we know the answer to, was no way, shape, or form a challenging fighter, and he couldn't take out Sugar Shane.
When he fought Carlos Baldomir, the Argentine Fuller Brush man, he looked great because he hit him with a left hook in the fifth round, and the guy went down
What did you call Carlos?
The Fuller Brush man.
The guy was champion. Yeah, leave the guy alone.
He used to make his own brushes.
Come on,
he used to make his own brushes
alone.
With.
He used to make his own brushes and
sell them in Argentina until he got a $100,000 purse to fight Zab Judah.
Argentina.
Exactly.
Hold on, Mike Bellamy. I thought Mike Bellamy joined us here for a minute.
He beat Zab Judah. And then he fought Mayweather. Mayweather landslided him, but he knocked out Arturo Gatti, so he made a few bucks. But when he fought Canelo Alvarez, he was competitive until Alvarez hit him with a hook and knocked him stiff. But Canelo, to me, has yet to show me something. This is why, in my column, I said, don't be surprised if Josecito Lopez upsets Canelo Alvarez.
I like him, Doc. I like Josecito. I like Josecito.
Josecito's already shown that he can win a war of attrition.
That's it.
He can win a war of attrition. He's already shown he can do that.
The only thing that worries me is that, of course, Victor Ortiz, a week after the fight with Ortiz, Lopez's face was still busted up. So I don't know what's going to happen here, but I lean towards the possibility of an upset. I like to be wrong. I like Tim Smith and George Lewis to laugh at me, but I mean, I give him an outside chance to. No, really.
Hey,
I give him an outside chance.
Doc, I was talking to Lady A about something about this similarly earlier in the week, and I'm going to say this. I'm waiting to hear it from you, but I'm going to say it to him again. I'm going to say it to him anyway, Lady A. Doc, this has the makings. Doc, this could wind up being fight of the year.
Yeah. You know, and
Shut up, man.
Yeah. And I like his chances, even though the odds are against him.
Me too.
And Canelo Alvarez is going to walk through because he was the first part of the year he was 140 pounder.
Dusty, I'm going to tell you this, okay? While you're watching it tomorrow at 9 o'clock, I'm going to tell you two words, okay? Don't blink. Don't blink.
Fight before Ortiz, he lost. He got beat in the fight before Ortiz. So he was only a walking fill-in. And look what he did to Ortiz, half-ass prepared. Now he's had, since that fight to this fight, months and months of preparation. And he looked big at the weigh-in, 153. I said, whoa, where did this guy get all this nonsense? You know. So, you know, Canelo Alvarez better have all his tools ready, man, because I think it's going to be, you know, a pretty nip and tuck.
Doc. Yeah. And like I said, the Ortiz fight showed you that the kid is gritty, that he can win a war of attrition without gritting, that he can go into the deep rounds, the hard, gritty, tough rounds. And that's the type of guy that you need to fight a strong bull like Alvarez.
Yeah, and he's gutty. I mean, he's not afraid to mix. And this is what he was mixing with Ortiz. Yeah, and he was
To meet a guy like Alvarez, man, you have got to have a guy, Doc, that can take him, that can make him go some rounds. You know,
make him take him to places
that he hasn't been. Yeah, Doc, no doubt.
Yeah.
You know, guys, I mean, you have to give it to Canelo, though. I mean, when you look at his fight, how many fights he's had in a year, You got to look at, hey, he had five fights in 2010, right?
Yeah,
four
exactly.
fights in 2011 and one fight in 2012. So he has stayed busy.
Right.
Canelo Alvarez
busy
has stayed busy. You know,
for a young kid, he's only 20. He's had over 40 fights. That's a lot of fights.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's
you know what? In the whole realm of scope of things, and Rooney, I mean, that's Mexico. That's Mexico.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I remember, I mean, Chavez, they said, you know, when Chavez was undefeated at about 16-0, he probably still had four, five, six, seven, eight fights that weren't even on his record. You know,
right.
That he had,
seven fights in 2009. 2009, he had seven fights, Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah.
Well,
come on,
but
he's staying busy. It's not like he's, you know, running away.
Well, also, you got to understand when he's first coming up like that, he's doing four rounders. So he can fight a four rounder. You know, he could have every money to fight a four rounder till he graduates up to the big fight. I think we got a surprise guest here. Is this the Jack Boxer man?
Yes, Jack Boxer in the building.
Hey, holy cows! You finally showed up somewhere.
Yeah,
how you doing, Ike?
Ike, we've been talking about the big cards tomorrow in Vegas, two fight cards, Golden Boy is having a card, Top Rank is having another one, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. against Sergio Marvella Martinez. That's the big fight, but there's another big fight, Canelo Alvarez, the new Golden Boy of Golden Boy, and another one of the Mexican outstanding fighters against Josito Lopez. Real quickly, as everybody has had their say on the first fight, who do you like in the Chavez and Martinez fight?
I like Martinez in that fight. Unless, you know, I mean, if defend Martinez with no shows up, I like him in that fight.
You know, everybody, you know, says that if the same Martinez we know shows up. And it would seem to me, first of all, you always want to enter that ring at the best. I mean, why would he not be at his best, especially in the wake of the fact that he's darn near fighting in this guy's backyard. His car has been vandalized. He couldn't work publicly. He knows the deck is stacked against him. You know, why would he not come in this fight at his best, Ike?
Well, I mean, you talked about the vandalism and all that stuff. You know, that could be some of the things they're doing to get into his head. Like I said, you don't know how that can affect him. It can affect him positively. It can affect him negatively.
Okay, but so
right.
I'm saying, and on our blog, everybody, once again, DocStanleySports.com is the site, DocStanleySportsIndepthBlogspot.com. And I said, you know, he has to come in here, this fight, he's got to dance, keep his chin in, keep his hands up. I said, it's the fight that he's invited to by design, not by desire. You like him. Now, we just started talking about the Alvarez-Lopez fight. Lopez, as the group here, Lady A, D'Estino, Baby Lois, and Mel. So here's a guy who was upset the apple cart by winning the championship, and then he comes in here, sort of the Cinderella guy. This fight, who do you like in this fight, Lopez and Alvarez?
Honestly, I don't know too much about these guys. I haven't really watched their fights that much, so I'll be the wrong guy to make any comments on those two guys.
Well, what we're going to do then, we'll use you to start our move into the next party. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake Network, Rainbow Soul Show. Sports and Depth of the show is the boxing special, Big Fight, Mexican Independence Weekend, Viva Zapata, Viva Emiliano Zapata, one of my heroes and idols. Okay.
Hey, Doc, let me say this before you go on. Just quickly, let me just say, Dusty made an incredible statement when he said, and I dug it, Dusty, as soon as you said it, and true words were never spoken, Lopez indeed is, in this case, the Cinderella man. He is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, there's no pressure on him. Right? Well, Dusty's brought the here's a guy. Here's a guy who you gave a sandwich to, and he fed his whole family. Now you turned around and give him tickets to a restaurant for dinner for 10. I mean, not only that,
he liked the Doc. He had a taste of the steak. He liked it, and he'd like to have a little more. Now he's had a taste of it. How about that?
Taste of it, and not to mention he's carrying a gun to make sure he gets some of it one way or another. You know? But hey, you know them lad guys. We're gonna kick with you on this. As we move in, as you heard, it seems, you know, it's in the words of Harold Weston, sad and touching, and you wonder I think it kind of validates what me and Tim Smith and a horde of other people were saying, that the Pacquiao Mayweather was a fight that Top Rank, a.k.a. Bob Arum, never wanted to make. And now there has been, it's out, December 8th, the day after Pearl Harbor Day, Marquez Pacquiao 4. Ike, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah.
How many times are they going to do this?
Number 4.
Man, personally, I'm tired of seeing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, there's too many other fighters out there. Why didn't they give Timothy Bradley a rematch? Why they not fight Mayweather? Why they going to Marquez? We've seen him. How many fights did he lose in the three fights?
You know what I mean?
No,
according,
you're right.
Yeah, I mean, according, I mean, people thought he's won a couple, but the ledger is the other way. I mean, at this way, then, Rooney, what you're telling me, so Marquez wins this fight with 2-2, and now we do Pacquiao Marquez 5.
Yeah, and, you know, and people are going to get tired and bored because they already know that Marquez beat, I mean, this was no doubt the last fight. No doubt, Trout. The last fight, he beat him. Okay.
Yeah, but you are the last guy. You are the last guy to talk about people getting tired because you will see the fight.
Of course, I will
but,
see.
But listen, hey Dusty, I
gotta
ask you one question though. Dusty, I gotta ask you one question though. When you judge this time around, could you make sure you count the rounds right this time when you do this fight for the fourth time?
Counting right.
Very funny. Yeah, I'm going to be the judge.
Are you climbing in the box or something?
but the fact is that people will get tired. You know why they will get tired, even though they'll go in to see it again? Because of the fact
that is Pacquiao.
It's an exciting fight. Pacquiao is a drawing card. Marquez
mm-hmm.
is a drawing card. They're talking about Marquez,
and it's a good fight,
you know,
an
and moving,
fight.
And moving up
fight.
To fight.
Hold
Bradley.
On. Good point. You know what?
Yeah.
You know what, Dusty? Good point that Rooney said. You know what? How can you get – good point, Rooney. How can you get tired of
a good
fight?
Every time they rumble. What's
yeah,
different?
I mean – you're
not
going to
see Mayweather. That fight's never going to happen. I said that 2 years ago, that fight was never coming off. So these guys beat on each other like
the fact of the matter is that it's not a – trilogy like Gotti and I forgot the Mickey Ward.
Mickey
okay.
Ward, yeah. It's not Ali Frazier, but you know what?
Like
the point
Pacquiao
that Rooney makes.
And
the point
Morales,
that,
huh?
Yeah, but the point that Rooney makes is whenever these guys fight, it's a good fight.
Doc, whenever they get together.
It's a good fight.
Like it's like the old days, Doc, with Sugar Ray Robinson and Jake LaMotta.
Jake
LaMotta.
Five
times.
Times.
The fans
yeah.
never got to hide and seeing it.
No, tremendous point.
But the fact of the matter is that first of all,
maybe Dusty, maybe they'll get tired of paying for it. Okay, maybe they'll get tired of paying for it, but they won't get tired of seeing it. Because what's going to happen now? We all give you $5 on the thing and come to your house and watch the fight. What the heck?
They
ain't going to invite us, so we'll just crash
that,
the house.
After Ali Frazier's 3, was anybody tired of seeing it? If they'd have said they were going to have those guys fight one more time. You think anybody might have said, well, you know, they fought 3 times already, and, you know,
you bring a point up that was the first reaction to and you know what, it might not have been. You know what we got to do? We got to do a survey, because that may not, the press conference is going to be packed. You know what I mean? I just want to hear what Arum has to say. And what Rooney has to say, he doesn't have to say anything because it's a fight that people are going to buy. They're going to see. And you know what?
They're both drawing cards.
And the fight's going to be
cards.
In Mexico. It's a good. Okay.
No,
okay.
It's not, Doc. I found out it's MGM Grand Arena. And Marquez says, I'm disappointed because they promised me Mexico, and Top Rank changed it to MGM.
Well, it's closer to Mexico than the Philippines. You know what I mean? Closer to Mexico. Yeah.
Well,
there's a high pop of the Philippines that come out and that are in there. Doc Stanley Sports Network with a Blake and Eric Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Network. Wow, we're rolling. Got another good 20 minutes left. Okay, here we go. Marquez and Pacquiao again. Rooney, tremendous point. It's a fight that people will see. They'll always pay you. There's certain people that they always pay to see, and you just brought a great point. And fans, you know, out there listening, We want to thank everybody for listening. But this is why you tune into Sports in Depth. This core people I have, you know, order. But you know, when you put a crew together, you have to put people who are going to do the job the best there is in their field, and you make you look good. I mean, you know, great quarterbacks. You know, if you don't have Art Monk and Jerry Rice and Jim Brown running the ball, you know, it ain't work. You look great. I got the best here, and you know, we brought some trend points up tonight. If we look back, first of all, let's go to the Sergio Martinez fight against Chavez. Point brought up that everybody has seemed to just totally forgotten about. Martinez is a southpaw. He's a southpaw. And if you go back to what Dusty said about the Andy Lee fight, you know, Chavez had problems with Andy Lee. Now, the
big
other point
brought up, Doc, big time. He couldn't get out the way of his punches. I mean, I just see a skilled level. I mean, this guy's so much more talented than Andy Lee is, Doc. I just don't see him losing his rumble. I mean, Martinez is so much more talented than Andy Lee was, and the guy had a life and death struggle with him. So I just don't see him losing his rumble.
Look at you, and the point that's made is that Martinez and Dusty, of all people, the last guy. You know, his Lady A didn't say one word because she'll be watching that fight too. Because you know, these people are connoisseurs.
Actually, I probably won't be.
Okay, Lady A, you're not supposed to say that on the air now.
I'll be DVRing it.
Hey, you wouldn't have said that if I was Harold. You know what I mean? but you know, gang, the tremendous points brought up here. Just the little learning things that you learned. The southpaw. We talked about the fact that
Nazim Richardson,
Sean. I mean, nobody knew as well.
Right,
you know what's funny? Hey, gang. You know what's funny? The last time I saw Nazim, Ike was there, and he has the best boxing show on television in the world right now, in the edition of Walter Banks and the greatest of all, Brooklyn Boxing. And Nassim was telling me he had to leave because he said Jack, Ike was doing another special on me. Every time I see him, he's doing a special on me. You know, Ike was taking him around the corner, and he said, "Hey, Jesse," said, "I'm doing another special with Ike. I got to go, y'all." You know, so he stood up in the corner. Ike took him in the corner. You know what I mean? And it has the greatest boxing show around right now. You know, it was on Ike's show that I found out. You know, I mean, I was in Brazil, and somebody said, "I saw you in the boxing show the other day." I mean, so it just reaches the far corners of the world. And we thank you all here for joining us here on Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports in Depth for the show. Big fights tomorrow. And what is happening, too, you know, it seems it's a snowball effect. And going with ladies first again, then Ike behind her, Miguel Cotto, as we said here on this show a month, maybe 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, we said Cotto was working on something at the Garden. It's happened. Lady A, he's fighting, no doubt, Trout. Your thoughts on that?
Austin
okay. Trout.
Mm-hmm.
I like Cotto.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing else to be said. I like Cotto.
You're not shocking us with that one, Lady A. I'll tell you that. You're not shocking us with that.
No. Hey, listen.
Wait, I got two words for you. I got two words for you, why? Puerto Rico. Now let me stop.
Listen. Hey, you know what? Hey, tell us something we don't know, okay? Tell us something we don't know.
Dusty, you're supposed to chime in with the guayabera and the
yeah,
freaking...
Yeah, well, I do have my guayabera ready for
hey,
the
Dusty,
interview.
And the
Dusty.
Guido in the background. You're supposed to be
Dusty.
With the Guido
put
in the background.
Put the veggie down and help the lady out, baby. Put the beer down.
Yeah,
put the beer down.
Hey, Doc. Hey, Doc, he's fighting Austin, no doubt, Trout. You'll have a better chance of filling the guard if he is fighting stunning Steve Austin.
Right.
Never heard of him. That's the thing that I saw here.
And you know, and Greg Logan... You know, we talked last week with him at the Jet football game where the Jets scored the most points ever in opener in franchise history. And, you know, for as far as I'm concerned, and I'm going to come with you in this, no Puerto Rican fighter can fill the garden the way Tito Trinidad did. I don't see Miguel Cotto filling the garden with Austin No Doubt Trout. I don't see it, Ike.
You're absolutely right about that. But Cotto is Cotto, Trinidad is Trinidad, you know, two different people. Just like Oscar, comparing Oscar De La Hoya with Fernando Vargas, you know. So we just got to, you know, deal with what we have. You know, the Puerto Rico, what they have right now is Miguel Cotto in terms of in the welterweight. So
Hey,
but, and you know, the other drawback here too, gang, is, I mean, if this was June, Puerto Rican weekend, it works. But we're talking December.
Doc, no, man, come on, man. Don't say that. That's not true.
See, I was waiting. Hold up. Dusty. I was waiting for him to say that.
If it's June. Hold on, gang.
No.
I can mute y'all, though. Hold tight.
Miguel caught the fort. No, listen to me. Miguel caught the fort. Margarito.
Yeah.
In December.
Uh-huh.
And
but everybody knows Margarito.
No, listen to what I'm saying, Doc.
Everybody knows Margarito. Moose Trout.
No.
Moose Trout.
He fought Margarito in December.
Uh-huh.
And this was the first time that the Garden was sold out, and the first time was Ali Frazier. Okay?
It was the first time that they had a fight at the New Garden. Are you telling me that when Evander Holyfield and Lennox Lewis fought in the Garden, they didn't sell it out?
They sold it out in the Garden.
Well, look, if you listen to the announcements, I don't know if you listen, it was said by Bob Arum, and it could be wrong. Yes, I stand corrected.
Who's a bigger liar than Bob Arum?
This is the second time.
He's a bigger liar than Bob Arum.
Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying.
All of a sudden, it's the gospel of Bob Arum? Dusty,
this confirms that you are on the top-ranked payroll.
Okay? That
doesn't hold true. You made a statement here.
It confirms it. Okay? Please, that's the whole truth. There was the first sellout
that
in the New Garden.
Miguel cannot sell out the Garden unless it's a Puerto Rican Day Parade. That's
no,
nonsense.
No.
That's nonsense.
He's an elite fighter.
I
tell you what.
Who can sell
I will bet you he will not sell the Garden out. Okay?
So then you're going to put him in the basement, like you said. Not nonsense. He's not going to fight in the basement with Austin Trout.
He's not going to sell out Madison Square Garden. I'm saying, if it's June, Dusty, you put it on a whole Puerto Rican Day festival.
Because
it's summertime.
But you mean to tell me he cannot sell out the Garden in a non-June?
He's not going to sell the Garden.
When he sold it with Margarito?
He's not going to sell the Garden out by Austin Trout. He's not going to sell it out.
He's not going to sell it, but if he gets
Dusty, you guys remember, you the left hook and Doug Stanley is Mayweather, so we don't want no hooks and uppercuts in this place right now.
I'm just saying, if it was in the summertime, if it was all part of that Hispanic Puerto Rican Day thing festival, you could get it. I mean,
I disagree with him too, Dusty.
Well, I mean, listen.
But that doesn't
mean it's amazing that the people who disagree. It's amazing that people disagree happen to be. Yeah. Okay. Let it be Hispanic.
You told me that. Since it's not the Puerto Rican Day Parade, he has to be in the Guamu Theater. How can you say that? He's an elite fighter, and he's fighting a
I'm saying that I thought you said it last week. I said the fight must be downstairs because I said it's a safe fight. Showtime, HBO will buy it. You'll sell out. I don't see him selling out upstairs.
Okay, let me ask you a dumb question, Doc.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everybody listens.
Mm-hmm.
Floyd Mayweather has never fought or he's fought a preliminary Madison Square Garden. He fights in Las Vegas. He's an elite fighter because he's never fought in New York. In Madison Square Garden, he has to go into the Wamu Theater to start? That's what you're saying.
Mayweather would sell the garden out, Dusty. That's as ridiculous as what you're telling me that Miguel Cotto has to go to the theater. If tickets go on sale tomorrow, Madison Square Garden is sold out to see Mayweather. And you know what? Nobody's asking who he's fighting.
Miguel Cotto
Pacquiao will sell
the
garden out. Those guys, people won't even ask you who they're fighting. They're just going to the fight. It's like,
well,
Tyson.
Hey, that's
it's
exactly
like,
what I'm trying to tell you. Harold
Cotto doesn't have that kind of name, Dusty. Cotto doesn't have that.
An elite fighter.
The fight at Yankee Stadium was just as much George Foreman as it was
the matter is. This is the simple point, okay, Dusty. Let me make this quick point. The fact of the matter is, Doc and Duck, Austin Trout has no name recognition, man, with the general boxing public. It's as simple as that. Okay? Austin, and the guy's going to be like, Austin who? I mean, the guy's not even well-known in his own household.
He's probably not even married. He's probably common law with his girlfriend. He's not probably even married. He's probably
Austin Trout. You're going to sell out the world's most famous arena. Okay, with a big name like Cotto and a guy that nobody's heard of in the name of Austin Trout? I don't know, the kid might be a decent fighter, but nobody's ever heard of him.
I'm just saying, you know, Cotto needs another name to fill the place up. But I think
Dusty's right, because I think Cotto has the same kind of following like Pacquiao when it comes to, you know, having a following.
I think that
he will sell the Garden. That's my opinion.
You
think he's going to sell out the Garden?
All I'm
going to
tell you is
Trout.
This. All you got to do is promote that fight in the Bronx, and you'll have the whole Bronx inside Madison Square Garden. Right, Dusty?
Exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly.
All you got to do is give out flyers at a Yankee game.
Right.
At a Yankee game. I guarantee you they'll be in the Madison Square Garden.
Doc, you were surprised. I don't think so. In partnership with Golden Boy. That's who he is. That's who he is. He's in partnership with Golden Boy. He's in partnership with Golden Boy when Cotto fought Mayweather. He and Cotto are partners, and that's being promoted by Golden Boy. Austin Trout is a product of Golden Boy.
Mm-hmm.
So you think that's not going to sell?
But
he's not going to sell out.
It's not going to sell out.
No, I'm not.
He's not
maybe
going
he might
to
not
sell
out, but he'll get 15,000, 18,000 asses in there. Because Miguel Cotto is a house fighter.
15 is good. I don't see 18. 15 is good. I mean, 18 is almost a sellout.
We'll see.
I mean, and for the reason that Harold said, which is a good reason, it's holiday season, man. It's holiday season. I have to decide on buying Christmas gifts or going to see Cotto fight a guy that I don't even know. You do this two ways Christmas time. You do this two ways Christmas time. Do I go see this guy? Look, let's listen in. Do I go see this fight or do my Christmas shopping? Now, if it's a big name guy, I go to the fight because it's my Christmas present to me. This is cut and dry, Dusty. He can sell some tickets there. He can sell some people there. But every fight that he has had there, he's had another name. Okay.
All right. That's the difference, Doc.
Okay.
Right there.
It was
that's
him.
The difference. He had another
him,
name.
Him and Margarito. Him and Sugar Shane Mosley. Him and the boy Court. He always had another name. When he first started out with that Puerto Rican Day affair, because he was the fighter for 3 years in a row, he did nice. He didn't sell out. When the names came, the sellouts came. He isn't in the same vein. If you said Mike Tyson, nobody asked you who Mike was fighting. You got a ticket. You said Ali, nobody asked you who was fighting. You got a ticket. You said Duran. You said Ray Lenny. You said
Ray Lenny,
Tommy Hearns. You just got a ticket. See, I don't know if Tommy. I think maybe Tommy would, but you just Marvin Hagler had a problem selling out places. But there's certain names that you just simply say that you don't even say who they're fighting. Well, I got to see that fight. You know, you don't say that with Cotto. You say is who's he fighting? And when you say that, the next question is who's Austin Trout? That's the next thing you say. Austin who? Austin who? I mean, that's just
so
what I'm saying here.
Who was Jennings, Doc? Who was Jennings from England?
He fought in Atlanta.
Yeah, from England. Yeah, and I was going to mention that.
He fought in
Atlanta
City.
And he fought
in the big house.
But he didn't sell out.
But he had. You see, when you guys promote something, you know, you got to understand the promotions. If I'm going to promote the Hunts Point, and it's 1,000 capacity, what's my nut? In order for me to at least get over my nut, I got to fight.
We're not talking about the nut. We're talking about selling the garden out.
I'm telling you how the promotion is.
Dusty, I understand the cutoff line. I'm just trying to say Miguel Cotto is not the kind of guy that you rush and go buy a ticket for right away. You're saying, who is Miguel Cotto fighting? You don't say that with Oscar. You don't say that with Oscar. You don't say that with Leonard. You don't say that with Tyson. You don't say that with Duran. You don't say that with Ali. They're fighting. I got to get a ticket. I don't care who they're fighting. It's a happening with those guys. These guys, you got to have a fight, okay? And you know, these guys never heard of this guy. Hold on, again. We got the. Let's take a quick hit here. We got a few more. Mike on lights up, I guess. Doc Stanley Sports Network, Blake with Norbert, Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Network show. Big fights coming tomorrow night. Mexican Independence Day weekend. It's the fight that people are looking for. Sergio Martinez against Julio Cesar Chavez, and then Carmelo Anthony against Cinderella Man, Joncito Lopez, and then we also have some good undercards on there. And as you know, it's been announced, as you heard me and Dusty going back and forth, Miguel Cotto is back into the Big Apple. He was here last year. He seems to be maybe the Christmas man. He'll be back here again as he's fighting for another title. And then, as you all know, it's World War IV. Well, you know, Pacquiao against Marquez. Now they'll be fighting. Dusty just gave an insight on that. We thought it was going to be Mexico, but it's not going to be Mexico. It's going to be as close to Mexico as it can, and further away from the Philippines as it can be for Pacquiao. And the big question has been, you know, I guess we're never going to see Pacquiao and Mayweather. Other things happening here, too. I want to take time out to send sympathy wishes to my niece.
I want to see that fight right now, Doc. I mean, the fight is gone, and pardon me for interrupting, Doc, in the middle. But I have to say this. The public has been so inundated over the years with that particular thought to that fight. Mayweather Pokemon, it doesn't have the same luster as it once had. Why would people not want to go see a good fight?
You said the reason why that Marquez Pacquiao works because it's a good fight. You don't think people would think it's a good fight?
They go to see it now, Doc, but it doesn't have the same luster as it did, say, a year ago, or much more even 2 years ago. It's like we've heard about it. Yeah. They're going to fight. They're not going to fight. They're going to fight. They're not going to. They're not the same luster now, Doc. I think it's gone past its prime.
All right. So,
Pacquiao, since the Margarito fight, and I hate to use that name again, has become a shot fighter. He's not that sharp, knockout, aggressive, hard-punching fighter anymore. Margarito took it out of him.
Is that something that Aram saw? I mean, but you would have thought seeing that Aram said, let me make this money with
That's
Mayweather.
Exactly what he's doing.
Okay, you know, but what he's doing, he's using him for everybody, and I still said this, you know, Aram has a grudge. Against Pacquiao, against Mayweather, and against De La Hoya, and he would fight anybody.
But you know what, Doc? I was going to say, you're making a great point, but at the same time, what Dusty said makes a lot of sense, too, because, you know, on top of the Margarito fight, you got to look at the Marquez fight, too. He didn't look too good in the Marquez fight, either.
Dusty was the one guy that said that Pacquiao had won the war, but had lost the battle and took a big hit in the battle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I look for him
to get knocked out in the ninth, man. And that's what you talk about Mayweather and Pacquiao and Bob Arum. But you got to understand one devil in this whole equation here.
Mm-hmm.
Mayweather wanted to chump change Pacquiao with all the pay-per-view. Pacquiao told him, "Hey, I get pay-per-view too." I said, No. You get what I give you."
Hold on. I can see it happened again. Mike going lights off. Don't nobody move. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Network for
the
show.
Crap out of you, Doc.
And you'll be, what'd you say?
Slap the crap out of you.
Hey. Your mama wear jungle boots, huh? You ready? Come on back with it, man. Hold on a minute, gang.
I'm going to bring you guys again. Can I get one little ticket for you and Doc? This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth
with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Just like Teddy brings it back.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
And it's mic on, lights off, as it so often happens here on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports in Depth for the show. We're talking to Sweet Science, and nobody can sprinkle it. Make it sweet to you and define it the way the crew can. Late A, First Lady of Blake Radio, a quick prayer. Dear Lord, thank you. Bless this segment and you all seven. In the name of your daughter, son, Jesus. Amen. And like I said, nobody can sprinkle it, define it, interject, intercept, devour as the crew can. As you know, we're doing a special here. It's Big Fight tomorrow in Vegas. And Ike from Jack Box has joined us, so we're going to get back into it. We're in the midst of the consensus is that Pacquiao and Mayweather will never happen, and now we're discussing why so much hasn't happened. I'm undermined agreeing with Dusty is that once Arum saw, and I think we got to understand that, you know, the Arum and Duva and King. These guys also know these fighters really well. And I'm thinking, you know, which is, and you said that. I remember you talked about that. Everybody was talking about how Pacquiao beat Margarito and the beating he took. And you said, you know, he may have won the war, but he had lost the battle.
Lost.
And you say it's been a constant regression. And I'm thinking that Arum, I mean, I just would have thought, common sense-wise, that Arum said, hey, you know what? The guy, you know, he's not all there. Let me get this money with Mayweather. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But my thing is, I think Arum has a grudge against both Mayweather and Oscar, as ingrates who weren't thankful for what he did for them.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And yet they were the ones that's doing all the fighting. And so I will do. And, you know, and the thing about what Rooney said is that Marquez and Pacquiao is always a good fight. The everyday fan is going to see it. The intellectuals like you and Lady A and Rooney, they're going to see it, and Jack Boxer. So, you know, it's always going to sell because it's always going to be, you know, no matter when he comes to the plate the first time or the fourth time, you know, you want to see Mays, Aaron, DiMaggio, Jose Canseco, because at any time they get the ball out of the ballpark.
Right. You see,
that is the Red Boxing equivalent.
You try to see that when you try to see that, but you see, what I was trying to spread around here is the reality of the fact that when you have defectors to a selfish slave mentality person like Top Rank, who made you chump change rich, but not rich enough to be his equal, and then you say, whoa, no mas, I'm going on my own, he's going to do everything to sandbag you. And the fact of the matter is you can't, but there's another culprit here who sandbagged the Pacquiao Mayweather. It's Mayweather, because Mayweather... And, you know, I love Mayweather. You don't know how much I studied him and went back to his roots, and I see why he is the way he is today, even though he has to chase some demons away. But the fact of the matter is that he tells Pacquiao, hey, I'm giving you $40 million, and that's it. I'm keeping pay-per-view. Wait a minute. When the hell did he get off?
Oh, come on.
No.
That's your, come on.
No,
that's your
it doesn't.
Truth.
No.
Well, I mean, he's thinking like a dude.
No,
no, no.
I want to take all the pay-per-view. No,
he wants to low-ball him, Gus. So the guy will say, I can't take the offer. No, I'm not going to fight you for that. So he doesn't have to risk the O. I mean, come on. Come on. We know what this is.
No, no, look. That's not the issue. When he wrote it to Pacquiao, Pacquiao says, "Wait a minute, what about my pay-per-view?" I said, No. I give you, I got all of it because I'm number one. Nonsense. Pacquiao comes back and tells him, "Okay, you know you can beat me. I know I can beat you. Why don't we do winner take all?" Mayweather would not go for it, but Mayweather's math was not working.
Or at least split it right down the middle, 50-50
split. It was not working right because Pacquiao's definition of winner-take-all was 70% for the winner and 30% for the loser. No. Go ahead, Rudy.
Top Rank, we already have said this. I mean, everybody said it here over and over. Top Rank wanna, don't want to see this fight. If this fight, they want to see this fight. If they want to see this fight between Mayweather and Pacquiao happen, it will happen. Okay, and we've seen it over the years.
But, Jack, I let me ask you, why do you blame Top Rank and Bob Arum when the one who's saying, I'm going to get all of the money and you get nothing?
But at the same time, Top Rank has said...
I don't want Rudy to come behind him. Go ahead, Ike.
At the same time, Top Rank has been able to call shots and say, this is what we want. This is what we want. This is what we're going to do. And because of the fact that they're the one that used to promote Mayweather, Top Rank still has this attitude towards Mayweather, like you all said it over here, that they don't like these people because of the grudge and this and that. That's why I said, if they really want to make this fight, it can't happen. I remember when they made the fight between Oscar De La Hoya and Felix Trinidad. I was at that fight in Vegas. Top Rank and Don King, they didn't like each other. So it was like, okay, you don't like me, I don't like you. Let's put our guy on and let's see who wins. You know, and you all saw the fight. You know, a lot of people think Oscar won the fight. You know, but Trinidad got the fight. Some people think Trinidad won the fight. So the bottom line is that Top Rank doesn't want Mayweather to make money. Mayweather is using his brain to say, as a businessman, Mayweather is now kind of being in a position to call shots like Top Rank has been calling shots. I say, I'm the undefeated guy.
So what?
I feel like I'm the better guy. This is, I'm going to tell you this
when
is
you
how we're going to do
no,
this.
When you do pay-per-view, everybody gets a taste. Now,
not
I,
all the time. There's
the
you've been telling me for years that Aram has set up pay-per-view, that he gets all of this, and Pacquiao got all of the other. So, I mean, hold on.
Hey,
quick, hold on. Stop. I got to get this quick. Rooney, you had something you want to inject real quick?
No, Doc. I was just piggybacking on the... What Dusty is, I mean, I may be wrong, but my opinion on that always was, and I know you may not agree, I always thought, Aram, of course, has his own selfish motives.
Okay,
no
Rooney, I see where you're going. I see where you're going. I'm sorry I asked you.
You're making me, you're killing my thoughts, Doc.
But by the same token,
I was always under the impression, rightly or wrongly, well, he'll fight him now, because the young boy that supposedly got the win over him, whose name I've already forgotten, even though we know he really lost that fight.
Bradley.
But Pacquiao's been exposed to some extent, to the extent that, you know, he doesn't really look like the same guy as Dusty was saying before. Looks kind of worn down, looking a lot older. So sure, he'll fight him now. What the hell? If he's not going to be the Islanders guy now. But when he still had that aura and mystique about him, I'm under the impression, quite frankly, that Mayweather really didn't want to risk that O that's on his record.
Absolutely. And that's what people still believe. But what I'm saying to you, let's go back in history. Let's go back in history nice and calmly. When the fight initially, 3 or 4 years ago, was advertised, 40 mil apiece, ready to sign on the dotted line, bingo, in comes Mayweather with his ace in the hole. I want the USADA drug testing. He's a junkie. How dare you do that? And from then on, it's been obstacles. Now, if you look at the reality here, And let me give you a taste of my analysis, because I'm an analytical to a very great fault.
Yeah, but come on, hurry up with it. We got to see the strike tomorrow night.
When Mayweather got that's funny. When Mayweather got a suspended sentence, and to come in May 5th, that he came in and got the May 5th date. The first guy he called for May 5th was Pacquiao. And he tried to chum change Pacquiao. That's why Miguel Cotto came in on the back door. I'll take it. Now, the fact of the matter is, Mayweather made with Cotto $70 million. Now, if he had fought Pacquiao, oh my God, $100 apiece. If it had
those
been
the numbers
fair,
that they were throwing around, though,
square,
Doc. That's right.
What's that?
Fair and square, and they had shared the pay-per-view. But he wanted to climb
it over himself. There's some things here that I can interject. I want everybody to be silent here for a minute, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Because we got to listen. Okay.
Listen.
There's some things here. You know, you guys are talking about, you've been talking that drug thing, Dusty, you know? And who is he? Well, it's America. You can say what you want to say. Now, I talked to some people who said, and their names are Oscar De La Hoya, you know, for one, who said, you know what? He's right. He's right with the drug thing. You know what I mean? That's a good idea.
He wasn't the only one we spoke to, Doc, remember?
Huh?
He wasn't the only one we spoke to.
You know what I mean? I got a host of people who said he's 100% right with this, man. You know? I mean,
well,
he was wrong in accusing one guy.
I mean, boxers don't have nothing to say. They haven't had anything to say in the past. You just sit there and whatever happens, happens. You know, he's able to now come in and say, let's do this test. Everybody.
I mean, for the kind of money that was offered, Pacquiao, man, you test the whole family. Kiki, the kids, come on, man.
I agree with you, Doc, but Doc, I agree with you in that sense.
I agree with you in that sense, but
Mayweather is not the commission, Doc. I agree with you for that kind of money, I would have no problem, but Mayweather is not the commission, Doc.
Is always four.
You're constantly telling me
that the commissions are crooked anyway. So why should he deal with the commissions?
I got the floor now.
You're constantly telling me that the commissions are crooked. Now, and my thing is here, you know, why is this a problem, and I'm going here, that this black kid comes up with this idea? You know what I mean? It's, you know, who is Mayweather? Well, Mayweather has to be a pretty good little fighter. But beyond that, it was a hell of an idea. You ain't got to be a genius to come up with a genius idea. And
not only that, Doc, but another important thing you have to add to that is, look how many people have been failing drug tests lately.
Hey, like dropping like flies.
Like Berto, you know, the Amir Khan fight and Peterson fight that didn't take off. Go ahead, keep going.
And nobody said, you know, Mayweather was right.
That's right. It's like
it never even existed. Like, you know, man, Mayweather was right.
Doc,
nobody said that.
My question to you would be, I understand what you're saying and I agree with what you're saying, but my question to you would be, if I'm Pacquiao, let me, just one second, if I'm Pacquiao, who the hell are you to dictate, to me about me taking a fight? Because I'm the guy that's undefeated, I'm the guy that's never lost,
and I'm the guy that's going to put this money in our pocket.
We're going to make this money together.
You're
not going to do it.
You know what?
Hold on, let me get this point here.
You know what happened, gang?
Even if Pacquiao made the same statement, he's also right. He can say to Mayweather,
right. And you know what? They never made the money. That's the bottom line. They never made the money. There's a significant difference, Rooney, hold on, gang. There's a significant difference between
what Dusty's saying and what you're saying. Because what Dusty's saying is he accused this guy. There's a difference between filing an accusatory instrument, which is what he did,
and then just
asking people to take a test. There's two different things.
And then to piggyback on Lady A, who's calling the kettle black? Mayweather took lidocaine for his hands that tested positive, and nobody busted his ass. Okay? So don't tell me that I have a right to accuse Doc Stanley of being on drugs, and I want you to take this test because I don't trust you.
Well,
nonsense.
I think there's two distinctions here. I mean, we're talking about, I mean, if you guys could interject if I'm completely wrong, but we're talking about somebody filing an accusatory instrument against somebody, which actually even went to court, because now it's like defamation of character. You're accusing me of taking steroids, but it's another thing for you within a contract to file a contract and state within that contract, I want to request whoever fights me to take a test. You know,
absolutely.
Now there's two distinctions here. I think that that's
logical.
I think that that's logically what we need to look at here too. I mean, okay, we want to say that the commission hasn't policed the sport properly, but at the same time, it's not right for somebody to accuse someone else of something either. And
exactly.
I think that
you know how many times Floyd Mayweather has been deposed to go to trial and show proof of Pacquiao steroids used 25 times.
Yeah.
And he never showed up in court to give his deposition. There was a time there that there was a bench warrant out for him. How dare you? How dare I accuse Doc, Lady A, Ike, Mel, and all them people? Well, you're going to fight me, but I want you to take a drug test because I suspect and this, that, and the other. Come on. How dare you accuse me of that?
Well, you know what? Hey, for the kind of money we're talking about, we're talking yang.
Oh, come on, Doc. I'm not going to let anybody flatter me.
No, for the kind of money we're talking here, we're talking yang. We're talking yang here. I mean, you know, and it's not like he said, you take the test. I don't take the test. He said, we're both going to take the test. This is the guidelines you go by. You know what I mean? Because Aaron tried to tell me some nonsense about blah, blah, blah. I mean, somewhere along the line, it comes to, is what I said about you, Rooney, about your man, Ray Leonard. It ain't about the money. It's about being the champ.
And
if I know I can beat you.
We had this discussion before, and I'm telling you, when it comes to pro sports, it's always about the money.
Well, no.
We've had this discussion before, Doc.
Hey, Rooney, and let me tell you something, Rooney. Check that, because it ain't always about the money. Because
hey, Doc, these guys don't do this for free, okay?
Rooney, listen to me very carefully now. Listen very carefully, Rooney. They weren't doing it for free, okay? It's not always about the money. Then why did Larry Holmes take $1 million less to fight Jerry Cooney? He said, because I would have fought three brothers before I got that kind of money. Why did Eddie Mustafa Muhammad go down to fight Marvin Johnson for less money? Because I knew it could beat him to get the title. It ain't
why
always
did Derek,
about
why did
the
Derek Jeter take a pay cut so that Alex Rodriguez could get on the team? Oops.
Okay, let me say this one more time to you, Rooney. It ain't always about the money. And we're not talking about a $15 raise here. You know, because in this country, the more you make, the more the government's going to take. I mean, I can understand what you're saying. It ain't always about the money. Sometimes a little class, little heart, little character, which your man Ray Leonard had. You know what I mean? So it ain't always about the money. I mean, and we're not talking about losing money. No, we're not talking about a winner-take-all deal here. You know, we're talking about, hey, and somewhere along the line, you know, ain't nobody all right, ain't nobody all wrong. But, you know, the thing about, and everybody ain't Ali, but, you know what I mean, to me, it's kind of evident that Top Rank never wanted to make this fight. And we keep hearing about Mayweather set up at the thing. I offered this guy X. Now, what I heard was that Aram kind of had a little stranglehold on this guy, but, I don't know. But like I said, Rooney, we've had this discussion before. But, you know, it ain't always about the money, Rooney. You know what I mean? And in your case, it's not like losing money. I mean, here's another one for you, baby. 10% of something is better than 100% of nothing at all every single time.
I don't debate that, Doc, but I also say these guys do not do this for free. They want to make – hey, look, I want to make what you want to make, okay? If I think that I can make – $50 million and you can make $50 million, okay, everything is everything. If you're going to tell me you're going to get $75 million and I'm going to get $25 million, we got a problem here.
Rooney,
exactly.
I wouldn't give a damn if I'm getting $25 million and I'm not getting nothing.
Fight, they don't get equal pay. How many times everybody get 50-50? How many times? And how many fights? You see,
hey, but
guy,
I'm going to tell you why. Because if I think that I'm as big a draw as you are, you're not going to dictate the terms to me or the purse. What do you
get? Yeah,
but
then again, Rooney, then you know what? Then you're sitting home with that $50 million in your pocket in your mind, as opposed to putting $25 million in your bank.
I'll stay home if you think you're going to get 75 and I'm going to get 25 when I think I'm worth 50-50. We'll sit home.
Exactly.
You won't make it,
absolutely,
and I won't make it, okay?
Yeah, well, then,
that's,
you know what,
the equation.
There
do you
go.
Folks,
you
know,
okay,
that last,
okay,
year, do you know that last year Mayweather grossed $85 million, according to Forbes magazine? And poor Manny Pacquiao made only $65 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you add the $85 million last year to the $70 million that Mayweather made with Miguel Cotto. Man, that's a lot of tin. Okay, but he made all that money because he had an opponent that was worth the gate money. And this is what I'm trying to tell you. Miguel Cotto and Mayweather was a busted fight. I mean, who the hell's going to, before you know it, is still the candidate for fight of the year. And Miguel Cotto made more than the $40 million because of the fact that he had his cable in Puerto Rico, which was sold out. So it's an equal sharing of monies. Even though, yes, Mayweather got more than Miguel Cotto because Miguel Cotto came into the back door like a wild card. But you don't tell a Pacquiao who was on top over Mayweather for years when Mayweather quit and went home to his family. Who was the top dog? It was Pacquiao. 8 straight world titles.
What's that got to do with the apple and oranges here? What's that got to do with what we're talking about? He was top dog.
It has to do with the fact that he was on top while Mayweather
disappeared. This is a situation that was very simple. They didn't make the fight, and they could have made the fight. And nobody, and it seems to me,
they didn't make the fight from the very beginning because of Mayweather's nonsense.
You can't put all the weight on Mayweather.
I am putting it on him because of the fact that he twice.
You can't put all the weight on Mayweather.
You can't.
I mean, plus all we really know is what the papers tell us. You can't put all the weight on Mayweather. I mean, it's like I said, it ain't always about the money. If you're the champ, go ahead and do it. And, you know, that's the way Mayweather felt. And, Rooney, you're right. If you think you're worth $50 million, equal fine. And you know
I
what?
I want to get paid what I'm worth, Doc. If I think that I'm worth $50 million, you know, Sugar Ray Robinson used to have this problem way back in the day with guys, promoters trying to lowball him.
No, we're not talking about promoters trying to lowball him. We're talking about money that was there.
If I don't get what I think I'm worth, I'm walking. It's as simple as that, Doc.
Yeah, but that's great. But also, there's a situation of sometimes you got to make some adjustment. A wise man changes his mind.
We didn't have room for negotiation, but that's
the way you're sounding. That's the way you're sounding.
No,
I mean, you're sounding like you sound like there's no room for negotiation. I mean, you know, it's a situation. You can get 10% of something and 100% of nothing. But there comes a time you can say, you know what, okay, you know what? Okay, I'll take this because I know I can beat you. It's what Don King told Bob Arum when Trinidad fought De La Hoya. I gave Bob everything he wanted. And I told Bob, if this is such a good deal, when my man wins, then I'll give you the same deal. I gave Bob everything he wanted because I knew my man could beat his man. They robbed De La Hoya, but he did. And then what did Aram do? Never made the fight. The fight only was going to come about again because Oscar...
Oh, and everybody is the fact that...
Let me finish my point for a second, Doug.
All I'm trying to say, Doc, is...
And, Doc, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Don't get me wrong. As somebody who once ran for president said, let me make myself perfectly clear, okay? I'm not saying that there's not room for negotiation, okay? I'm not saying that at all. What I'm trying to say and tell you is, you are not going to dictate to me if I think I'm worth as much as you think you're worth in this rumble.
Absolutely.
Now, we can negotiate, okay? But if you say, hey, you're just going to gorilla me, I'll take this and you take that, or that's not going to be it, then so be it. I want to get paid what I think I'm worth the same way you want to get paid what you think you're worth.
It's better
okay?
than 100% of nothing.
Yeah, but
I'm going to take 50%,
Doc, you or me. I'm willing to go 50-50, but if you think you're worth 75 and I think we got 25, as they say, Houston, we have a problem here.
10%
of
something
to piggyback on what he just
is better than 100% of nothing at all.
Miguel Cotto,
it's just that simple. I mean, look at Cotto. What did Cotto do? Cotto went with the flow and made a hell of a lot of dough.
This is exactly what he says. Cotto said, and he was asked, "You stupid idiot, how come you're taking such little money when Mayweather's getting so much money?" You know what his answer was? "I'm making more money in one fight than I made in the 10 years with Top Rank." And as it was, after all the chinks were in and the cash registers were checking the pay-per-views and the closed circuit, Miguel Cotto walked off with over $50 million. And that was chump change compared to the 70 that Mayweather made May 5th. So that's a point where it's understanding. But I agree with you, Mel. If I feel that I'm equal to you, my being Pacquiao, and you being Mayweather, and you're going to tell me, "Well, I'm only going to give you $40 million, take it or leave it." Well, you shove it where the sun don't shine, because I'm just as good as you, and I know I can beat you.
Absolutely.
So don't give me this garbage. You don't chump change me. I'm Pacquiao, and you are Mayweather. We are equals. That's basically what it is. Doc, let me just take
30 seconds to make a quick analogy, okay? They had a WrestleMania once where the main event was going to be Hulk Hogan, a guy called the Ultimate Warrior. So behind the scenes, Warrior didn't know what to ask for this big match with Hogan. So he asked a brother named Bad News Brown, real name Alan Coage, a very good wrestler, former judo jiu-jitsu Olympian, actually. And he said, "Al, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Yeah, Jim, what's the problem?" He said, "Man, I got this match, WrestleMania match coming up with Hogan, as you know. I got no idea what to ask for. What should I ask for, Al?" Al says, "Well, man, Hogan's getting $1 million. You ask for $1 million. Damn, he's getting a damn million. You ask for $1 million. And he said, "Man, are you sure? $1 million? Should I ask for that?" He said, "Hey, all he can do is say no, okay? All he can do is say no. Hogan's getting $1 million. You ask for a damn million, okay? He's no better than you. He's getting $1 million. You ask for it." He goes to Titan Towers, goes to WWF, talks with Vince McMahon, and Vince says, "Well, so what do you want for the WrestleMania match, Jim? What do you want? He says, "Well, Hogan's getting $1 million. I want $1 million. He says,
"Absolutely.
You know something? That's fair. You got it." Guy walks out on air, goes back and says, "Al, I got $1 million. Man, you were right. My God, it went great." The point that I'm trying to make is, Doc, if I think I'm worth what you make, then that's what I'm asking for.
Absolutely. And that's exactly the point.
What you get, what you ask for, and what you're worth is a whole lot different. What you ask for and what you – you know, we're wasting time here. I understand what you're saying. And like Ali said, I understand your side, or you understand my side. 10% of something is better than 100% of nothing at all, okay? And if it's a matter of a point that here's a situation like DK did, he took what Aram offered and said, "Because I know I can win, and when I win, I'll flip it back." Real quickly, gang, because we got to roll here before we get cut off. Doc Stanley Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel Sports is having the show. And, you know, we're talking about a fight that sadly, as Rooney said, and as everybody's kind of dovetail on, it just ain't going to happen. But, you know, the bottom line, if it does happen, we'll be watching it. Gang, real quickly, okay, we got our picks for the other one. Real quickly, Lady A, who's going to win Alvarez and Lopez?
I like Lopez.
Tony?
Lady, I want to know, Lady A, are you okay over there? I don't have to believe any life in there. Are you okay?
Who do you like, Rudy, Lopez or Alvarez?
A fight of the year, a draw.
Lopez and Alvarez?
Hey, Doc, I keep coming back and forth on this, Doc, and I can't come up with the winner yet. I will say this, though. Edge's obvious strength goes to Alvarez. Ring generalship and technique goes to Lopez. I'll say that for now.
Ike, who you like in this one?
Well, like I told you earlier, you know, I haven't watched those guys too much. But I do want to say something about the Mayweather and Pacquiao.
Go ahead, real quick.
I just want to let you guys know that they need to give the fans what they want. Forget about all this money issue, man. Give the fans what they want. Both Pacquiao will do it for the fans. Mayweather will do it for the fans.
Hmm.
Absolutely. You're right.
What's that? What's that? I said it one more time.
I said, these guys, all of you need to forget about this money. Mayweather would say, okay, listen, you want half? Okay, you take half. Pacquiao, take half, I take half. Let's do this thing, do it for the fans, you know?
Yeah.
It may not be about the money like Doc was saying earlier, you know? It shouldn't be about the money. Pacquiao, if you love your people, you think you can beat Mayweather, take whatever is there and fight him and just give it to the fans. The interest is still there. You know, people will still say, oh, wow, this fight eventually happened. You know, so it's not ruined. I don't think it went down like that. It can still come back up.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh.
It could happen, but I mean, yeah, go ahead.
It's like Mel said, it could happen, but... it seems like it won't happen. I mean, I just don't.
What you have to be cognizant of the fact that the stumbling block is Mayweather wanting all his money. I mean, it goes back to that. And Pacquiao says, "Hey, I'm equal to you."
Well,
you
retired, know what, Dusty?
And I was top dog. I'm the modern day Henry Armstrong.
Right? I tell you what. At one time, he had an argument. At this time, he ain't Mayweather's equal at all. Not anymore. There was a time he had an argument. There was a time he could have stand. The losses to Margarito, and no matter what happened in the Bradley fight, the bottom line, he never should have put himself in that position until that happened to him. He should have been fighting Mayweather. So at one time, you had a legitimate argument. At this point, he is no longer Floyd Mayweather.
So his best comeback is fighting Marquez again? Come on, really, Don?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he is no longer... the
come
equal
on, man.
Of Floyd right. Mayweather Jr. Rooney, tell everybody good night real quick. We got to roll.
Well, Dr. P, Sports In Depth Nation's been here. The Sports In Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Blake Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drinks been here. And that's Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doc.
Hey, gang, it's been wonderful. We want to once again extend sympathy wishes to the Hooks family, my niece, and the loss of my nephew. As again, the panel's all here. You got your picks. Everybody who wants to make some sure money, Dusty is picking Chavez, so run to the bank right away. Make your bet.
Bet the ranch on Martinez.
No, I'm going to tell you something, Dusty. I don't know if Martinez can do what he has to do for 12 rounds tomorrow. I know he has to do it. I don't know if he can do it. And I don't know if he is the fighter that I saw against Paul Williams or the fighter I saw the last two fights. And you know what, Dusty, what we have to look at here before we leave, gang, is you saw Lou DiBella today on that video.
God,
now,
scary.
Is that kind of a psychological effect also on Sergio? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where's his head at?
And unfortunately, it might be in a reverse effect, not a positive effect.
That's what I'm saying.
And this
that's
is
what
I'm
saying.
Yeah, and that's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
He's
okay,
going to find himself pressured to
do. If I see you at ringside carrying a water bucket up to Sergio's corner, then I know full well that it did. Lady A, say goodnight.
Buenas noches.
Buenas noches, Lady A.
Good night.
And Jack Fox, say goodnight.
Yeah, Doc Stanley, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me on your show, you know.
Yeah, I don't disappear, I mean.
Yeah, you're doing
I want to thank
back.
You so much and let you know that, you know, these days, November 25th, I'll be promoting Fight in Nigeria, just to let you guys know. And,
really?
Again, yeah,
wow,
Nigeria, and even taking some American fighters there to put some little stuff together. So.
Well, we'll come back with us this Sunday night and let us know some more about that, okay?
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you need a ring announcer?
hey, ring announcer, hey, you need somebody to fight the four-rounder? Shucks.
I already got you on the payroll right now.
Okay, hey, good now. Hey, listen, hey, you don't need Dusty. I can do what he does.
Dusty, I told Dusty he's gonna be the commentator, the left hook, and you the Mark Mayweather uppercut.
Rooney, say goodnight to everybody one more time, baby.
Oh God, that's funny.
I again want to say good night to our very, very illustrious fans, and I want you to know that because of you all, I have to call back again. We're going to have another 30-minute debate off-air about subjects and topics spoken of in this show. So here we go again. Thank you all for tuning in.
Yeah.
Gang, God bless.
Good night. Once again, Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Rainbow Soul Sports Show. It's been a boxing special. They've all been here. The Elite Crew, Mel Cosell Jr., telling it like it is. The Astinio, Baby Lewis, the Zesty, Jack from the Jack Boxing Show, number one boxing show in the world. Because you're number one in New York, number one over the world. The First Lady of Blake Radio Sports, Lady A. Tonight on assignment was Harold Weston Jr. Nate B. Baseball is covering the baseball as they're getting ready for the playoffs. And the rest of the crew will all be back here on Sunday, good Lord willing. And I always say from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. We'll see you on Sunday night. And once again, the number one African-American sportscast in the history of New York City Radio. And now the ESPN sideline reporter for the New York Jets, the one and the only, Mr. Larry Hardesty, will say goodnight. And with that, I will also leave also. Larry, tell everybody goodnight. Now, you can't do it better than Rooney, but just say goodnight.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.